Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. If you're able to, would you stand with me this morning as we read these two verses of Scripture? And I'd like to take a moment for prayer as well. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Very familiar passages. Most of you can probably quote them. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Our Father in heaven, as we open up your word this morning, I pray that you would give us of your anointing. We don't ask for that anointing lightly, but we realize that we are in desperate need of your touch. We've been through valleys, we've been over mountains, we've been through storms. And Lord, you know exactly what our needs are this morning. You know where we've been and what we've faced. And so you know what our mindset is, and you know where our emotions are running. Pray, Lord, that you would grant to us today, right now, the touch of your hand, the breath of your spirit, the anointing of your oil, granting to us what we need. Touch my lips, my mind, touch our ears and our heart that we might be receptive. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday morning, it was a little strange, perhaps, message. This morning, it may be likewise. The narrow-minded, narrow way. The narrow-minded, narrow way. I'm told that the cults of Islam and Mormonism have in their list of good reading the Bible. Maybe a little strange. Jehovah's Witness use Scripture many, many times, especially when they would knock at your door and try to get you convinced to read their literature. They will use Bible verses. The reason why I say that it may be a little strange that they either use or have the Bible listed in their list of good books is because the Bible ultimately contradicts and utterly rejects their beliefs. The things that they teach in their beliefs and the things that they have written in their books, the Bible, what we call and understand to know the Word of God, rejects their teachings. You can read in Deuteronomy chapter 4. You can read in Deuteronomy 12. You can read in Proverbs 30. You can find it in Revelation chapter 22. All of these specific passages, there's specific verses in all three of these books that deal with the folly of adding to or diminishing the Word of God, the Bible. For that reason, I suppose, Christianity has been discredited by many people because it is believed that Christianity, based on its biblical teachings, is too dogmatic and narrow-minded. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever been accused of being narrow-minded? If you've done very much talking about Christianity in public settings, you've probably been accused of being narrow-minded. What is the word narrow-minded? What does it mean? I suppose that we all have a basic idea of what it would mean. Let me give to you what the dictionary that I looked in tells me that narrow-minded means. You may not like it. Lacking tolerance or flexibility or breadth of view. Well, that's simple enough. Narrow-minded. Lacking tolerance, flexibility, or breadth of view. Rigidly adhering to a particular sect or its doctrines. Narrow-minded. So based on that understanding of the word, the compound word, narrow-minded, our response to the criticism that Christianity is narrow-minded or dogmatic, we would probably have to stop and just simply say, you're right. The Bible is extremely dogmatic and narrow-minded. Listen to my words. I fathered three children. Janae, Jonathan, and Caleb have no other dad but me. It's dogmatic, isn't it? It's narrow-minded. Did you catch the likeness in some scriptural words? What about the narrow-mindedness of creation? Surely, if evolution was true, evolution would have been more open-minded. But creation certainly is narrow-minded because in creation, it only gave us one way to see. And that's with our eyes. The narrow-mindedness of creation gave us only one way to hear through our ears. Only one way to smell through our nose. Only one way to breathe with our lungs. Narrow-minded creation, wasn't it? Why didn't it give us a broad spectrum? How about the narrow-mindedness of gravity? Well, I have a personal conviction that I can fly. Climb to a 14-story building and, based on your convictions, jump off of that building, gravity defied, brings injury, or at that level, probably death. Likely death. Gravity is not something to be messed with, tampered with, even though it is dogmatic in its basis or in its teaching. We find also that there's a narrow-mindedness of humans' need for oxygen. A little strange, perhaps. Why in the world do we still need oxygen after all these years of evolution? Knowing that oxygen is becoming in short supply because there's less green space in the world, and so less green space means less production of oxygen. But let's just say somebody has a conviction that they want to live like a fish. And based on that conviction and based on that resolve, we've heard about resolves this year, based on that resolve, they are going to put on some weights and jump into the lake or the ocean or the river. Despite all of the resolve in the world or in the universe, the ultimate decision or the ultimate response to that decision will be death. There's no way that we're going to live, a person will live thinking that they don't need oxygen. Then there's the narrow-mindedness of the traditions that have been around humanity for several millennia. The tradition that food and water sustains life. You know, you've heard about that Jared somebody who ate Subway sandwiches for how long and lost all that weight. Wow, a tremendous advertisement for Subway stores. Somebody else may say, well, a Subway sandwich really isn't all that healthy. Well, how about that guy that, I forget how many he's up to. He's eaten a Big Mac every day of his life for so many years. I think it's up over 18,000 Big Macs. Have you heard of him? You haven't heard of him? Big Mac, every day for so many years. You guys from Frankfurt, Travis, didn't he tell you, do you remember what number it is? It's way up there. Am I close, 18,000? Isn't that what it was? You remember that at all? Youth campers. I don't know where it was. It was way up there. Crazy amount of number of Big Macs. You know how unhealthy Big Macs are. Well, you see, it's all about food. Really, it's about food. Food with all of its present-day warnings. All of its present-day warnings. Still, narrow-minded requirements are such that we need food to sustain our life. So, once again, somebody wants to defy that tradition that has been established for many millennia. I'm going to eat mud and drink gasoline. You know what the ultimate end of that decision would be. Certainly, death. Because of the narrow-mindedness, it doesn't matter how narrow-minded it may be, because we defy what has been established. Death is the result. So for somebody to say that I will not accept a belief system that allows for only one way to get to heaven, what is that result? I don't like narrow-mindedness, and so I'm going to reject this one-way-to-heaven belief. And the end result is still the same, death. For a person to say that, they really need to think a little more deeply. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Not trying to take that verse out of context in any way, but I believe that there is a fitting point to our context this morning. The visible things, or the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. On the practical side of things this morning, God has every right to set things up the way he chooses. Set things up according to his specifications. After all, he is God. So when he says that there's only one way to heaven and only those who know God through Jesus Christ will get in, he means just that. I think it's very important, very significant, that God said that only those who know him through Jesus Christ. Because there's many people who profess to know God, but deny his Son. And the pressure is on in our day for you and I to open our arms and open our ideas to what those people are saying, because we all worship the same God. But there's a major difference. There's a major factor that is missing in that whole scenario. And that is that God said through Jesus Christ that there's still only one way. And in order to know me, you must know the Son. John chapter 17, verse 3, and this is the eternal life, or this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by or through me. Matthew chapter 7, going on down a little bit further, Jesus said in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Those are some profound verses, some profound pieces of Scripture that give to us the understanding that there is only one way to heaven. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible is equally dogmatic about some other things. The Bible is equally dogmatic about its teaching of hell. Now, hell, we must understand by scriptural teaching, hell is the place where all people go who do not know God. Everyone who does not know God. Now, don't we still have it in our mind that in order to know God, we have to know Him through His Son? So when we say that a person is bound for hell, that is indicating that they do not know God. They have rejected His Son, Jesus Christ. Going back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, Jesus is telling us what takes place on that day. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The last verse of the chapter, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So when the Scripture says that there is two places, there is two ways, Scripture means exactly that. The Scripture, the Bible, is equally dogmatic and narrow-minded about what it takes to get to heaven, not just to go to hell. We've already looked at it, but let's look at it again. Salvation is only available through Jesus Christ. What was the verse that we looked at in Acts? Another rendition, another translation of that verse says, and there is salvation in no one else. Scripture, or the King James says, neither is there salvation in any other. So there's no breakdown there. There is no salvation in no one else. And again, let's remind ourselves of the words that Jesus said. I am the way. no man, no person comes to the Father but by me. That's some straightforward teaching. Going back to our text verse, the passage tells us that there are two ways. There is a way that leads to destruction. That's the broad way. That's the way that many people find. But then we also find in that passage that there is another way. And that other way is called the narrow way. And I believe this morning that it's safe to say that it's called a narrow way for a reason. Because few there be that find it. No, that's not the reason why. The reason why it's a narrow way is because it's the only way. We can't take all of our baggage. We can't take all of our personal whims. We can't take all of our modern day ideas and bring them along. It's God saying, it's my way, or there's no other way. Because Jesus very clearly tells us that he is the only way to give us salvation, or to give salvation. Now the application, perhaps, because I'm speaking to the choir this morning, the application perhaps of this entire thread, this entire thought, would simply be, when somebody accuses us of being narrow-minded in our spiritual beliefs, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to hang our head over. It's not something that we have to step back and allow somebody else to take precedent, because yes, we are narrow-minded. The narrow way is narrow-minded. Yes, it is. Absolutely. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. Because Jesus clearly tells us that the narrow way, well, let's just look at it again. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. It leads unto life. Let's stand together this morning. John Brett, would you dismiss us in prayer?